This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Furious rock and roll there here on WRFL Lexington from the Flatworms. They're from Los Angeles. The record's called Red Hot Sand, and that's the title track from their EP. Yeah, this is Mick. You're listening to Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. That kind of reminds me, you know, everything kind of comes around and goes around. And it sort of sounds like some of those Mission of Burma projects on Volcano Suns and some of those early RFL things from, my God, could it be the late 80s, 88, 89, the even later 80s, 90, 91? How you doing anyway? It's a beautiful day outside, if you haven't noticed. You know, I'm never sure how I feel about it. Stays light really late. And I never cared until I had a kid. And now it's just like, it's kind of like, wow, it's just, I guess we're just in the midst of summer, right? It's just a phenomenon, because it was light when I got up this morning. And it'll be light a really long time from now, which beats the alternative, does it not? Let's do a little, this is Trivial Thursdays, by the way. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to visit with Lucy Jones, who does amazing things around town, like the Lexington Film League and the Harry Dean Stanton Festival and that sort of thing. And so Lucy's coming in. We'll be talking about this. This is the 6th annual Harry Dean Stanton Film Festival about to kick off here in town. So we'll look forward to talking to Lucy about that later on in the show. Derek Feldman's going to be here. He's one of the organizers of the Well-Crafted Music and Beer Festival, which I believe is at Shakertown still. And I think that Derek's bringing Josh Nolan in to play some music in the studio. That's in the second hour of the show. And in the meantime, that band that we heard, which, as I said, was called Flatworms, got me thinking about the Volcano Suns. So let me see if there's any chance that this is a track that we remember and love from the good old days. From the Volcano Suns, this is White Elephant. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is Mick. It's Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. And that was... Well, let me tell you what that was, he said, pausing to figure out what that was. Where did it go? It's one of my favorite things. It's called Italian Chandelier, and it's by, oh, I don't know. It'll come back. But anyway, it's the band that got me through. this sounds weird. The band that got me through Prince's death. Which is not to say that Prince, you know, I mean, Prince has plenty of music. You don't need to listen to anything else. But I think the way I felt was like, okay, there are some other bands that can kind of do a pretty great sort of clearly Prince-influenced sound. The Floozies, that's who it is. The name of the band is The Floozies. And so somewhere between my daughter's great fondness for robot rock and Prince's fondness for 9th and 11th chords lies The Floozies with Italian Chandelier there, and that's what I know. It's 20 after 7 in the morning. I'm here with my friend Lucy Jones, who I'm delighted to see as always. Hello, Lucy.
Hello, McJeffries.
You've got a horse shirt on.
I do. I'm wearing my mom's shirt from the 70s.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty classic. We can't, our radio camera is broken right
yeah,
now.
So yeah, that's really too sure. bad.
It reminds me, though, of the, it is as, your horse shirt is sort of, your shirt with a horse on it, I'd like to say, is.
Thank you for the clarification. Whatever images were popping in people's brains.
Is, It kind of reminds me of if you spend much time with the Good Foods Co-op, there's a woman who works at the coffee sandwich counter, and she has a hat that is sort of pink and green, and in big letters on the front it says cats. just big block letters.
I love it.
So it's, you know, go cats, yeah. I guess. There's no UK branding or anything. It's, like I said, it's sort of pink and green and has big. So anyway, your horse, not the horse on your shirt, not particularly indicative. No, there is a jockey on there, is there?
No, that's not what's going on. It's a cartoon, and there's a little girl, and she's very proud of herself because she's wearing a first place ribbon because of the horse show, and the horse is not particularly excited about her taking credit.
Yeah, the horse is.
So he's sticking his tongue out at her.
Right, okay. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification there.
Sure, sure. It's kind of an animal rights shirt, really, in a weird way.
It's kind of what?
An animal rights shirt.
It is. I think I see. Yeah. I get that now.
And actually, when I was a kid, I had a matching one that went with my mom's shirt. So there's a very miniaturized version of this shirt somewhere in the depths of my parents' home.
It is in there, though, isn't
it? It actually is. There's no doubt about it. There's no question in anyone's mind.
Well, you have been... hard at work probably for the last 363 days.
Yeah, so much so that my brain has pretty much stopped functioning at this point.
There's so much going on. I don't know if we should get straight into it. I'm going to quiz you about any number of things.
Okay, I can't wait.
But, you know, none of which we've discussed off the microphone or anything. So, let's see. For one thing, I mean, like, if I say what's going on with the Lexington Film League, you're going to naturally go into this.
I mean, yeah.
Which is, that's the way you
go. As Nick holds up the poster for the radio.
In an off-mic cue.
Right.
But like...
For Harry Dean Stanton Fest. Have we actually even said those words?
No, we haven't. Okay. We haven't said Harry Dean Stanton Fest yet. Harry Dean Stanton Fest. Harry Dean Stanton Fest. Four words that have rung throughout the bluegrass for the last 6 years now.
Yeah. Let's call it the country.
The country. Yes. Yeah. Because of internet radio.
Right.
And everything.
Because of Trivial Thursday.
So, Harry Dean Stanton Fest, which is coming up again, number six.
Yeah.
And
this weekend.
This weekend.
Yes.
Right.
Starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that we're at year six here?
I'm surprised when we were at year one, but year six feels pretty natural. And I think there'll be a seven and an eight, and I mean, I don't think this thing's going to stop.
Because
if there was ever a man worthy of celebration, it's Harry Dean Stanton.
Because
he's a Kentuckian. I'm not sure where we're going here.
He's in so many movies.
Oh my God, he's in all the movies.
You
mean it'll program itself for years and years. Yeah, we'll never
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's part of the allure in some ways is, I believe, if I'm not putting words in your mouth, of this Kentucky film icon,
absolutely,
was that he has been in so many things.
Yeah, all the things.
But he's also, and no umbrage offered here, but like he's one of those guys who's, I mean, he's absolutely a leading man in some cases, but he's been in many, many movies as the unforgettable, iconic supporting character.
Right. Well, I think technically he's only been a leading man once, and that's in Wim Wenders, Paris, Texas.
Okay.
You could make the case for Repo Man, which I would.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two, maybe one and a half. But otherwise, it's all supporting roles. And sometimes he's only in a movie for 2 minutes, but they're still the best 2 minutes of the movie.
If you have your Film League hat on, when people see the term supporting actor, like in a movie, I mean, what, for instance, in the Showtime show about the Mormons?
Yes, Big Love.
Big Love, thank you. Maybe it's not Showtime.
HBO.
So would you call him a supporting character in that?
Oh my gosh, that's hard though, right? Because he's the patriarch. I mean, everything kind of revolves around him, but in terms of screen time, I mean, Bill Paxton's obviously the
protagonist.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Although these days that kind of designation is, what do you call a protagonist who you sort of hate?
Like, I mean, an anti-hero.
Anti-hero, yeah. Which is real popular in don't you think, in American media?
Especially in television.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think in the 70s, and this weekend's festival is all 70s. I think in the 70s, like cinematic anti-heroes were sort of more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems in the area of television more so.
Like
Sopranos,
what?
Did Sopranos start that? Who started that? Did Seinfeld start that? Who knows?
Kind of. I mean, and then Breaking Bad is like the apex of it, sure. Kind of, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, Harry Dean does not enjoy the term character actor, which I love that term.
I seem to remember that being true for him.
Well, because he says, you know, all actors are playing characters. Every actor is a character actor, which makes sense, too.
But he's nonetheless a character, which not all actors are.
Character. And he has character.
Right.
What's that line in Pulp Fiction? Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have a character. He's got both in spades.
Well, he sure does. I mean, when was it 3 years ago that he came to the festival?
Yeah, it was the year before last.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, he demonstrated pretty clearly that he had character.
Amazing. It was amazing.
When he spoke at the Kentucky.
He did. I wish we had footage of that to play because it was incredible. Too. It got really existential really fast.
It really did. It was, I mean, just to say, it's not just that Harry Dean Stanton was on stage in front of people speaking. I mean, his quote unquote speech was compelling and bizarre and thought provoking. And I think completely improvised.
Oh, 100% improvised. 100% improvised. And you know, I mean, it was a lot for him because he hadn't been here in years. I mean,
right.
Years and years and years. And park elsewhere. Uh-huh. We will have like a place for everybody to set up. So bring like your portable radios and your chairs. And
this sounds like a hustle. Now, I mean, like right when you open the gates, it sounds like there's like a line
of
cars,
bam, 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 bam.
And you must have like people like, like okay.
Right.
I mean,
that's
you have people like
part.
Getting, yeah, like lining up the cars. Yeah.
But I will say, if you bring your 70s car, there will be priority parking.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So did you do a hot rod show kind of thing last year?
Yeah, kind of a cruise-in thing, which was amazing because we showed Two-Lane Blacktop. And I love that film for many reasons, coming from a cinematic background. I had no idea the resonance in the car community, which makes sense. But there was a gentleman who came who had, like, the exact car from the film. Not the one in the film, but, like, he had, like, made his car, his 55 Chevy, like, look exact. Oh, God, I hope it was a Chevy. Let's just say Chevy. Oh, I should know this. But anyway. It was incredible, and he was like, he had a model of the car, he had Monty Hellman's sign, like it was so cool. He was the coolest guy.
So this is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah,
you're in this oasis of nearby food and beer and
exactly
and company and
yeah, you
classic
have all the
70s movies,
ice cream,
yeah. Right? Yeah, an ice cream shop that also sells booze. I just want
Does
to be
it?
Clear. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. My daughter and I have both simultaneously thoroughly enjoyed
something for everyone.
That place from time to time. Cool. So that kicks off. That's the Cisco Pike Drive-In and 70s Car Cruise-In.
Yeah.
Which is, did you say it's tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, yeah, tomorrow, Friday, yeah.
8:00 movie at dusk. The local Action Trivia folks will be there with their trivia wheel, doing Harry Dean Stanton trivia, so you can get prizes.
This is, so, also I just want to compliment you on the 70s color palette here. Did you steal this from a Braniff airplane? Braniff
well,
Airlines?
Actually, that is our first, so we have made variations on the same poster designs so the first year. So when you asked me if I thought there'd be a year 6, yes, I did. The plan is to like always have it be exactly the same poster but in different colors. But we ran out of color. So this is actually the first year color that we're recycling back around.
That is that
just
right?
Happens to be like the most super 70s color
indeed.
Palette of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
For
there's
those
umber.
That don't have a radio camera, it's like...
There's umber on here. That's umber. You can go next. Yeah. I'm just going to say there's umber. I see umber.
Is that...
That's the yellow.
That's
the yellow is... It's an umber. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a burnt sienna, I think. One of these, maybe.
Yeah, the brown, and then what's a good 70s brown name? You had brown appliances.
I think that's when I was a kid, I used to, before the dawn of like all those like Muscle Milk protein drinks, when I was a kid, there was a stuff called Nutriment.
Nice.
Which was just, it was maybe apparently supposed to be good for you, but mostly it was delicious. And
so
they
you
had
call
a flavor
Nutriment
called.
Brown?
No, I'd call it Dutch chocolate.
Dutch chocolate, perfect.
That was one of perfect. The flavors. So so that's Friday night, Harry Dean Stanton Fest. Lucy Jones here giving us the lowdown. Saturday, you've got all kinds of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, we're doing two matinees at the Farish Theater, 92 in the Shade, which is one of my favorite films of all time, which stars Warren Oates, longtime friend and collaborator of Harry Dean, also a Kentuckian. And I believe that Warren Oates' son, Tim, hopefully is still planning to come join us to do a quick Q&A after that. It was sort of an unplanned thing. He got in touch, and so hopefully that's happening. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Facebook page and our website for updates on that.
Now, Warren Oates, so like in a nutshell, too, like as I stumbled around trying to kind of, pigeonhole Harry Dean Stanton, not really. But Warren Oates like also has this weird iconic supporting character, often bad guy kind of thing, or would you say?
I wouldn't say he's often. Well, I guess he is often. Like maybe in the movies that I haven't seen, maybe he's more often the bad guy. I feel like in like sort of the quirky stuff, like the quieter stuff, like the Monty Hellman stuff, he's usually a good guy.
Okay, he's got that smile. I'm sure you're right. Okay.
But I think people know him from Stripes. I feel like that's which was sort of the end of his career, which I think is sadly like his most iconic role when he'd done so much. Other great stuff before that.
He was kind of the Sarge guy, is that right?
Yeah. 92 in the Shade being one of those films. It's Thomas McGuane. It's actually the only film he ever directed, the author, screenwriter. And he did three movies, the Harry Dean movies, in 2 years. Missouri Breaks and Rancho Deluxe, which we showed last year in this film. And it's such a good film. And actually, I'm afraid we don't have the best print ever, but we got because it doesn't exist. They're actually going to be re-releasing it soon. Releasing it for the first time on DVD. But Warren Oates' son contacted Thomas McGuane and got a DVD for it. So we're able to show it. And apparently the quality's not the best, but the provenance hopefully will make up for that.
I love that connection. So you did this kind of Frogger hop from did you already know Warren Oates' son or was it as a result of this
festival? Uh-huh. And he is the coolest guy. A few years ago he just kind of started chiming in on Harry Dean Stanton Fest, and I've always been trying to get somebody to start a Warren Oates festival. Uh-huh. I feel like there needs to be a Warren Oates festival, like maybe one in Louisville because he went to University of Louisville, maybe one in DePoy, Kentucky, from whence he hails. Mm-hmm. I don't know, somebody needs to step up. That's all I'm saying.
Let's see. Lucy Jones is here, and this is Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. It's about 12 until 8. If time is really of the essence to you, I like to be kind of precise about this. And we're talking about the Harry Dean Stanton Film Fest. After a while in the show, in the second hour, Derek Feldman's going to be here to talk about Well Crafted, which is the festival, the music and beer fest that he's doing in Shakertown. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's like the preview of the show coming later that I'm telling you. This is Mick. I'm your host. And thanks for tuning in. Good morning to you. You're listening to WRFL, broadcasting to you from underneath 33 billion tons of concrete. We're in the bunker of... We're in the basement of UK, pretty much.
Yeah, the bowels.
Yeah, very much.
Where even the internet fears to tread.
Did you? I don't know if you heard when not too long ago Byron Romanowitz was on the show. Who I don't know if you've ever met Byron, but he is an iconic Lexington architect and jazz musician. Byron's on the wall of Al's bar. He's the white saxophone player, and but Byron, I was telling Byron how to get here. And he's like, I know where it is. I designed that building.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that.
And then I was trying to work out parking with him, which is always kind of an issue here. And he did my favorite thing, which I feel is less likely to be done by young people today than it is by older people from a previous time. We were having trouble coordinating where Byron would park, and I was concerned about it because he's up in years. And like, and by his own admission, he's like, you know, my knees aren't so great. And I was like, okay, well, here's the spots, and if they're full, you know, and I'm trying to come up with all these contingency plans, and Byron's like, you know what? I'll just park wherever I want to. What's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to get a ticket or something? They don't tow, right?
That's
and I was
great.
Like, you do that. Do that.
And how did that work out? I bet
it worked out just fine. Yeah. Anyway, a little bit of a tangent.
That should be my mantra from now on.
Just park where
the hell you want. Maybe I'll just do what I want.
Yeah, just do whatever you want. Oh, well, you are doing whatever you want, Lucy Jones. You're like, you've done this film festival for 6 years. You're working hard to save this amazing building. We could talk about that for half a second.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. That's one of my favorite topics as well.
So I'm sure plenty of people are curious about
the status.
So many things, the status, but we'll even back up one step and just so many people are probably curious simply about the building, which is the People's Bank, which is the fabulous mid-century modern structure that has been empty for as long as I've known. How long has it been empty?
We have not actually weirdly been able to land on a number sometime in the early 80s, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, my whole like conscious life in Lexington for sure.
This is on Broadway. It's so next to a giant parking structure that almost every time I drive south on Broadway, I'm afraid it's gone.
Right. It's hidden. And there is that like bated breath moment where you're like, wait, where? Okay, no, it's still there. It's still there. Okay. Okay.
The zigzaggy roof, the blue tile.
Charles Bayliss, that's his brilliant design. It's really, I'd say, the last, you know, googie building left in Lexington.
Right. And googie being this kind of distinctive...
Very distinctive, like usually commercial architectural style, named after the Googie Coffee Shops, which was a chain in Los Angeles, and John Lautner designed the first one, and this sort of style arose out of that. People would be like, well, what's this new building? I don't know. It looks like the Googie Coffee Shop, and then all of a sudden, that's what it is. It's Googie architecture.
Right. And it's whimsical. It's fun. It's
exciting,
breathtaking.
It's audacious. It's bold. It's, you know, reaches toward the sky. It's, you know. It's out there, and there's so little of it left because, you know, it was this very sort of, it was a moment in time, and then it was sort of fell out of favor and wasn't appreciated, and now people are looking back and being like, oh my gosh, how have we destroyed all of this incredible stuff? So Lexington decided, well, we're not going to destroy this incredible building. It can't be where it is, so we're going to pick it up, and we're going to move it over, and we're going to plop it on down again.
Actually moving the building, which in and of itself is a sort of breathtaking feat.
Yeah.
This is the plan. This is what you've been moving towards.
My understanding, the Warwick Foundation, we've been so fortunate in that they have stepped forward. Clay Lancaster's foundation has stepped forward. And their plan is to turn it into this amazing cultural community center for Lexington that will be the first living monument to the Compassionate Cities movement. And so you can see, you'll be able to see films there. You'll be able to, you know, nonprofits can use it. It will also have a space, you know, that can be rented out so that it can maintain its viability. But it's going to be a great space for the community. So I think... my understanding is that they were going to go under contract this week. So the moving's going to be starting really soon because it has to actually be traverse the parking lot before the circus comes to town in September.
Oh my gosh, really?
I know, yeah.
I'm so fascinated by the moving of any kind of building, but that building is...
Yeah, well, it's only the way they're doing it. It's going to go, I think, 40 feet a day. So you can... pop over.
That doesn't make it easier.
We need to do a time lapse.
Let's do that.
Okay, we'll talk about that after.
My first thought was like, it's still really hard. Just 40 feet a day. They're going to have like 50 people who are going to push it from the side. They only have to push it 40 feet a day. That's not very much.
Come on, guys. You got this.
Very much. So this has been a kind of amazing. A lot of people have kind of.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
A lot of people have worked together to make this happen.
So many people.
Including developers, it should be pointed out.
It's incredible.
Had an amazing conversation once with Laurel Cato.
Yes.
Of the Warwick Foundation, right?
Yeah. He's the hero of this whole project.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a very humanizing discussion, I think, because it's real easy, especially we in Lexington have the propensity to be angry with developers. We'll just leave it there. But to hear Laurel tell it, and she's not here to defend herself, a lot of times their minds are just focused on something else, kind of. And if you're like, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this alternative?
Right.
If you can do that in the right way, a lot of times they're like, Sure, why not?
Exactly. They're reasonable people. Business people are reasonable people, just like everybody else.
Right.
And it's been amazing. I mean, Mr. Langley, who actually owns that land, has been so gracious and incredible about working with everybody to make this happen.
Right.
I mean, it's to everybody's ultimate benefit for it to move. So,
and you guys had... Yeah. So if people want to keep up with that, though...
Yes. You can go to the Warwick Foundation's website, or you can there's a Facebook page, People for the Peoples, and hopefully we'll have a lot of some exciting news this week.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, I'm glad. I didn't want to not talk about that.
because
it's such a cool thing.
I also want to talk about Brad Dourif.
I know you do. So don't worry. We're never on time. We're running late. Don't worry about it. I'll always run late for you.
You're so good to me, Mitch.
So Harry Dean Stanton Film Festival. Now we're on to, we were talking about Saturday, which is 92 in the Shade and Straight Time, a double feature, if
a
you
double
will.
Double feature at the Farish Theater.
The Farish is a great place to see
it.
A
is
movie.
A fantastic facility at the Lexington Public Library.
Totally kind of renovated. And
beautiful. Great new projector screen. It's so overlooked. Tom Sutherland does such a great job programming there, and is constantly showing really like classic films and interesting films and sort of off the beaten path stuff. It's one of my favorite things about Lexington.
Now the thing that you're stoked about all this, of course, you know, as we move on. Do we want to move on to Sunday here? I know there's really cool stuff going on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, Saturday night's huge. The Palisades always does like a great music event for us, and so Saturday night we're turning the Green Lantern into a 70s era truck stop. We're showing Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie Lady Truckers, and they're going to do a 70s with. They're joining forces with Binders to do a 70s style. Their documentarian just walked in the door. That's so exciting. There's a great piece. How can people see the piece that you did on Palisades?
Not super easily, but you could go to facebook.com/Patrick Drury, and the video's there. So we're working on getting a website up so that's a little bit easier to track down. But
perfect. That was great timing.
Strangely enough, the well-crafted crew just rolled in along with Patrick. Are you Patrick Drury?
Sir. Nice to meet you.
Patrick with a fancy, snazzy professional camera.
Who apparently my professionalism.
Who just...
Did a great piece with Scott Whitten on the event on Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
We're all buddies here.
Look at this Lexington.
That's right.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, how
good. How are you?
So, let's see. So, yeah. So the Green Lantern getting to, it's a trucker party.
Yeah. Trucker party.
You know,
slash
which
feminist
so obvious
70s rock
retrospect.
Mashup.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we're not going to play. As a matter of fact, I think maybe we'll play Convoy and come back. What do you think about that?
I'm so excited about Trucker Night.
So that was C.W. McCall, by the way.
Yeah. And we're going to have the jukebox loaded with, like, truck driving classics at the Green Lantern. Just FYI.
Yeah.
The jukebox guy has been, like, going deep.
That is great. So we're not just talking about, like, Red Sovine and and Boxcar Willie.
Which would be fine if it was just Red Sovine.
Right.
Let's not, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I think it was Red Sovine or Boxcar William, but I'm pretty sure it was Red Sovine who died in a car crash on the way to play a show in Owensboro.
What? Yeah. I don't know this.
Yeah.
Have you heard Red Sovine's Christmas album?
I have. It's been
literally
played on
the saddest songs.
No, no doubt. Wynn Morris is a huge aficionado of that, and we played it on we used to do the Trivial Thursday's Christmas show. We didn't do it this last year, but usually the most popular song is, I believe it's called The Christmas Wish.
Oh, is that the one where the little boy dies on Santa's lap?
Oh, thanks for ruining it for everybody.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. The orphan doesn't make it till the end of the song.
So Lucy Jones is here. We're talking about the Harry Dean Stanton Film Festival, year 6.
Yeah.
With special guest
Brad Dourif.
And you've just been itching to talk about this.
Well, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a couple years coming. We've been working on getting him here, but his schedule is insane because the man works all the time.
Okay.
I mean, he's been in like, I think 160 movies or something, movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
We're talking about Academy Award nominated actor, Brad Dourif.
Who do people really, what do people, what, like, just the general population knows Brad Dourif from what?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like Brad Dourif, in much the way Harry Dean Stanton is sort of a cinematic Rorschach test, okay. Like, you show somebody a picture of Brad Dourif.
Cinematic Rorschach
and
test.
And what they say when they see that picture, like, very much speaks to who they are as a cinema goer. So I know a lot of people, I mean, obviously his, not first role, people think it's his first role, second role, was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And okay. He got nominated for an Academy Award for that, and he got a BAFTA for that, and he got a Golden Globe for that. So that's how he started his career.
Okay.
I feel like people know him from that, obviously. I think more recently people know him from Deadwood.
Okay.
Lots of people know him as the voice of Chucky, which is maybe not my favorite credit. I mean, it's a great credit.
Mean from the horror movies?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Chucky?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like him doing an impersonation of Jack Nicholson, which is amazing. It's a great franchise, don't get me wrong, and he's obviously brilliant in everything he does. But I
just, for a minute,
people...
I thought you meant Chucky from Rugrats, but that just shows my age.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's been in so many things. I mean, he did a lot of stuff with, my favorite stuff is the most recent stuff that he's done with Werner Herzog, like My Son, What Have You Done, mm-hmm. and Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. But he's been in so many things. Just Google Brad Dourif. You'll be like, oh, that guy. So we're showing Wise Blood, which is one of my favorite movies, based on one of my favorite books, directed by my favorite director, John Huston. And I understand that he's very excited about talking about this particular film because it's the one that literally nobody asks him about. So.
I feel like this movie is an intense cult classic. And by that, I don't mean necessarily obscure, but like, I mean, it's the fans of Wise Blood are kind of legion.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
Well,
so.
Now you can on the big screen at the World's Most Beautiful Theater with Brad Dourif there.
The Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah. The Kentucky Theater. The World's Most Beautiful Theater. I'm going to start saying that
too.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Yeah. To say nothing of Alien.
Yeah. Alien. Start off Alien in the afternoon.
Alien in the afternoon. Just in case you just want to just get really rattled for that night.
I know, that's the thing. Well, I was thinking about doing two movies because it's all 70s and we were trying to proceed chronologically. So Cisco Pike starts it out and then Wise Blood 79 ends it. And we were doing Alien. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe what's another 79 movie we could show? The Rose. And I watched The Rose and I was like, there is no way I would ask anybody to watch The Rose and then do anything else for the rest of the day. Like, that is the saddest movie. Like, there's no way you would want to be like, all right, let's go see this movie down the street after that. You just want to go home and weep. So I think Aliens, you know.
With Alien,
a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my first favorite scary movies.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it on the big screen in forever. H.R. Giger and his crazy monster.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And following the great, you know, sometimes ignore your own peril rule of horror movies. Don't show the monster. Don't show the monster. Don't show the monster. Don't show the monster. And Alien just does it to absolute, at just rivetingly terrifying effect, right?
So good. So excited for that.
So, let's see. So that's Sunday. Yeah. And then Sunday night, Wise Blood, with Brad Dourif.
With Brad Dourif here.
In town.
And Clark Hollis from Entertainment Weekly will be moderating.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a Q&A
mm-hmm.
in the World's Most Beautiful Theater.
The World's Most Beautiful Theater. TM.
So there you have it. 3 days of Harry Dean Stanton Fest, number 6.
And you can go to harrydeanstantonfest.org for all the information.
Yeah. Let's see. So what's your, I can't wait to hear your diplomatic answer for this. What's your pick here for the whole festival?
Mick Jeffries, you can't do that to me. It's not possible.
All right, then. But we did say some provisos if you go to the drive-in thing.
Yes. Get there early.
Get there.
Maybe bring a chair and a portable radio just in case you can't park.
But you said you get there on time but not early.
Yeah.
Or
get in
if
the
you
queue.
Have a car.
Like, pull over to the side of Old Frankfort Pike and I mean, I don't know what the best strategy is. But just know that it fills up pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the big drive in night Friday, Saturday, kind of trucker party.
Yeah.
Trucker
party and music.
Sunday, terror and...
terror and religion.
Well, this is great. Let's see. So, and you told everybody where they can find out more information. I want to ask you real quick. We've just got a couple minutes left. I have quoted you several times.
Why would you
in the last few days? Because you said something compelling on Facebook, and you said that you said I challenge anyone.
Oh.
I challenge anyone to think of a more significant Kentuckian than Muhammad Ali, except for Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
You still standing by that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do stand behind that. Do you? What do you think?
I think so too. I mean, you know, I mean, it was a very thought-provoking thing to say in the wake of the death of Muhammad Ali.
Well, we actually kind of had a conversation about it. Like, we were sitting at the Green Lantern when we found out the news, and we started thinking, well, who's more important? Who is more significant? And we really literally could not. I mean, we brainstormed this thing for a period of time, and it was like, no, that's it.
So why would you, why do you think?
Why Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
You mean as a big, I mean, he was, because he's everything. Uh-huh. I mean, he's.
I just want to hear your version, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to ask me to eulogize Muhammad Ali at 8 in the morning after 6 cups of green tea. And I'm not sure how, articulate I could possibly be. But, I mean, in terms of international scope and, I mean, his sort of profound, I mean, he was a brilliant man, and his profound message of peace, I think, resonated with so many people and changed so many lives. And I just can't think of anybody else who's sort of represented our state in a more worthy way.
And the paradoxical nature of him
being the
greatest boxer ever, and his, I mean, I think about his anti-war stance, the fact that he was stripped of all his award, that he just refused, the man would not back down from a position.
But when you think of that paradox, I mean, the fact that at that period of time, and somebody actually posted something on my page, and I can't remember who it was, and I feel terribly about that, but that made me start thinking about the fact that, you know, that he was going to be great no matter what, because he was a great man. And at that time, being a black man in America, his only avenue to get there was boxing.
Right.
Which is so crazy. It's so crazy.
There is some weird, like Esquire magazine, which I love and think is one of the finest magazines in the modern milieu or whatever. They have a strange love of boxing. Boxing comes up from time to time. I don't know. I don't necessarily love boxing. I don't necessarily hate it either. But it is an avenue in some strange way.
And then he transcended it and became what he was always meant to become.
Yeah. And for anyone who hasn't been to the Muhammad Ali Museum, tomorrow probably not the best time to go. But are you going to Louisville tomorrow?
I wish I could. Yeah, I would. I actually have to pick up Clark Hollis at the airport in Cincinnati. Otherwise, I really would be there all day.
Yeah. And the museum is stunning. It's one of the, if you're a museum fan, it is one of the greatest museums I've ever seen. And no pun intended there. Because what I always say is that the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville is a civil rights museum disguised as a museum honoring a boxer.
Yeah.
And it's deeply moving, I think.
Agreed.
And when he was alive, it was totally, you know, now I can't even go there, because I'm just going to, you're starting to tear up. We'll have to stop. let's play. I'm going to play. Thank you, Lucy, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mick.
And for all that you do in Lexington.
Thank you for all you do in Lexington.
And so I've got this, like, it's just kind of a compilation of quotes, because the thing we left out was Muhammad Ali also hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredibly hilarious.
Amazingly funny.
Yeah. And my grandfather I realize now he cribbed a Muhammad Ali line, you know, where he used to, when I was a little kid, he would challenge us to turn off the lights in the room and try to get in bed before the light went out. I think he totally cribbed it from Muhammad Ali. And I think that he makes that joke in this clip, this kind of extended thing that I'm going to play, that's a collection of Muhammad Ali riffs, if you will. And then we'll be back. So thanks to Lucy Jones for coming and talking about Harry Dean Stanton Fest. Langhorne Slim there. With the track The Way We Move, from the album of the same name. I'm here with Derek Feldman, who I haven't seen in a little while. Derek, what's going on, man?
How much? How are you, man?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, really great to see you.
You don't look like too kind of, warped out from planning a festival.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit, though.
No, maybe a little bit. No, I'm feeling good.
You are one of the organizers of Well Crafted. This was an idea that came to you a few years ago, right? Is this the third year?
Yeah, this is the third year. That's correct. Based on the work that we were doing with Shaker Steps, a sort of music video series in town with local artists as well as touring artists coming through, and we highlight different places in Lexington. And Shaker Village heard about us and said, "Where'd you get your name?" And we thought at first, they were going to say, "Okay, you can't use that name" or something like that. but they've been extremely gracious and inviting us to participate in things with them. And this was the big sort of collaboration that we did, which is Well Crafted. It's a music and craft beer festival at Shaker Village.
Mm-hmm. Sort of amping up the usually very low volume of Shaker Village. It's a pretty quiet place.
Yeah. It's a very serene sort of place. But this, we get a little more rowdy, I suppose, but still, it's still a pretty intimate festival in terms of festival.
Well, it's a pretty clever idea too. Shaker Village is pretty interesting and unique place.
It's one of my favorite places, and definitely in Kentucky and perhaps the whole world. Although I haven't, I haven't been to Vietnam.
Well, I highly recommend that.
I would love to go.
But Shaker Village, which is it's like 30 minutes from here, from Lexington or something like that, right?
Yeah. Not a bad drive at all.
Another world, very placid.
Yeah.
A really interesting venue for a festival, I think.
Definitely. It's in the midst of, we kind of take over this middle field, which overlooks this really beautiful scenery, the rolling hills off into infinity, in the middle of these other beautiful old buildings that they built. And if you know their sort of architecture, simple but elegant and beautiful, really.
It's austere,
it's a special,
maybe.
Exactly. Simple, unique. They're efficient in their building practices, I guess I would say.
You brought along a long time, I believe, every year festival goer. Is that true?
Yes.
Who you brought with you?
This is my daughter, Lily.
Hi, Lily. Can you say hi?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Is it true that you've probably been to you've been to this festival every year? You're kind of one of the organizers.
It's really beautiful there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you like about an all day music festival at Shakertown?
The music part.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite because the music is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I got you on stage last year, didn't I?
I know. I just kind of waved to everybody.
What did you think about that? What do you think about getting on stage? Does that make you nervous?
Yeah, sometimes I get a little stage fright.
So, let's see. Well, the festival, by the way, is... When is it?
It is Saturday, June 18th. So
okay.
not this Saturday.
Right.
Like you just had Lucy here talking about Harry Dean Stanton Fest. So that's this weekend, but next weekend is Well Crafted.
Right.
Yes.
Is it a day?
Yes, just Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saturday the 18th, and it's all day. Music starts at noon. Gates open at 10, so you can get there as early as you want. All day headliner, which is Langhorne Slim, who we just heard from.
Yeah.
Langhorne Slim and the Law, his band. They go on at 7:30, and they'll play for about an hour, hour and a half, and it'll all be done by 9 o'clock. So like as the sun's setting, it'll be done, and you can have a great, wonderful day. It's not like a late night thing, that a lot of music in general and music festivals tend to be late night things. This is really an all day thing, and then done by sunset.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so super family friendly then.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Totally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's see. So how did last year go, by the way?
Well, the weather was good.
Okay.
And so that always is kind of, a determining factor.
That's a nail biter.
Good,
it's always a nail biter kind of, probably.
What's that?
It's always kind of a nail biter.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do an outdoor festival.
The first year it was raining in Lexington, but it was fine. I mean, it was cloudy, but it was fine. It wasn't raining. out at Shaker Village, they call it, you know, Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill. It really is kind of its own little oasis. The rain tends to kind of go around it. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it has the river.
I think it's the Kentucky River.
Yeah, and the hills are, yeah.
That's why so many storms, like, even with Lexington, like, the most wicked storm can be headed straight towards Lexington, and then, like, boom, and then, it, like, it veers up above Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
Not every time, but yeah. But so often, I think.
Yeah, so it definitely, you know, year one, it rained, so I think that kind of discouraged some people from coming out, although there were a lot of people that did come out, and it was fantastic. Second year, it was beautiful, and even more people came out, so it was great, and so hopefully people will come out this year as well, and it'll kind of keep growing, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. So I think what we're going to do is take a little break, and you've Josh Nolan came along.
Yes,
and we're going to visit with him some.
Yes.
And then come back and talk some more about the Well-Crafted Festival and some of the things you're looking forward to. This
awesome.
Is Trivial Thursday. It's on WRFL. It's about 27 after 8 in the morning. And we will be back. Stick around. Yeah,
at
yeah.
Well Crafted.
Uh huh. Now, where's she from?
She's from Carolina. Okay. Don't ask me if it's north or south. She's from Carolina.
Well, just there's an understood apostrophe at the beginning of that.
Right. Right.
cool. How'd you get hooked up with her?
Just a little bit, you know, familiar with her music.
Okay.
You know, she falls in the whole, you know, roots, Americana, soul, a little bit, you know, alt country stuff that most of the lineup at Well Crafted is. It's kind of the genre, the water that I sort of swim in. And so that's inevitably the kind of music that I've kind of pulled together.
Let's see, so... Who were some of the people that played last year?
Well,
I can't remember.
Lyra Lynn actually.
That's right.
Headlined last year, and a lot of other, you know, locals or regional, you know, Tyler Childers played last year, and he's playing again this year. My friend over here, Josh Nolan, played last year.
Josh is here. Josh, let's put you on the mic.
Good morning.
Hi, Josh.
Josh played last year with a full band on the main stage. We actually have kind of two stages. We got a main stage and then a second stage, which actually...
Lily's nodding about the second stage.
Exactly.
You like the second stage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was,
you better say that.
that we do solo artists, mostly local... artists, either solo or maybe duo, you know, extra guitar player, harmonica player, or djembe player, I don't know, something like that.
Cajon.
We usually do that, set that up by the beer tent. WRFL is kind of helping us with the sound on that stage, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and this is June 18th. This is the Well Crafted Festival.
Yes, indeed.
We're talking with Derek Feldman, the organizer of that. And Lily's here also, and Josh Nolan is here. Josh has a guitar, probably quite a few. I don't know.
More than my girlfriend wants me to have.
Josh, what is, let's see, so you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you perform on your own, or is it with an ensemble?
typically with the, I don't know, it varies, but at the... What time is my set? 7?
You're at 7.
So
he's right
before
Langmore. I think
I'm solo for that one, so, yeah.
You say you think you're playing solo?
Yeah.
You're not sure
I'll
yet.
Make that decision day.
What are some other, ways that you play? Maybe with, like, one other person, you mean? Or?
I mean, sometimes I'll have someone accompany me. Lately, I've got a 5-piece band. They're so new, we don't have a name yet.
Okay.
It varies. You know, sometimes I play piano, sometimes I play guitar. It's like I said, I'm not one to make plans very well.
I see that you didn't bring a piano in today.
I did not. I almost brought an electric chord organ, but I didn't know how that would go over at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds kind of good to me. Yeah. Well, cool. So, as long as you've got a guitar and you have that guitar on your person, as I see, you want to play something for us?
Yeah, I'll play a new one that's also a new song, so new I don't even have a working title for it yet.
Okay. Let's do this. This is Josh Nolan, and he's going to be playing at the Well Crafted Festival and playing for us live here on Trivial Thursdays. Take it away, Josh.
Sister of Mercy, I collapse in your arms. If you'll be the one to hurt me and keep me away from all harm, well, I know I've been lazy. Look where I've been. I want you to hold me, 'cause I want to know how it feels to know that you've sinned. Maybe things would be different if I wasn't out here on my own. Even the devil was an angel before he lost his home. Been drunk like the moon, stumbling around through the night, saving my dreams for the girls who won't sleep, and coming down hard when I've wasted my life. But if I gotta go, I'm going out with a bang. It's not all that different to die for a cause than not knowing you've died in vain. Maybe things would be different if I wasn't out here on my own. Even the devil was an angel before he lost his home. Yeah, maybe things would be different if I wasn't out here on my own. Even the devil was an angel before he lost his home. Even the devil was an angel before he lost his home.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Josh Nolan.
Yeah. That's good.
Live on the radio here at WRFL. Josh, you have a like an ancient Bruce Springsteen in you. I wouldn't have guessed necessarily.
Yeah.
Singing is singing such funny business. You don't necessarily know what voice is going to come out of people. I wasn't expecting like a grizzled old man voice to come out of you. That's a compliment, by the way.
I'll take it.
I was thinking when you were playing that. Derek, you said something about Americana, kind of, you know, being that's just what you tend to gravitate towards, and my brother does too. You know, sometimes whenever I've asked him, sometimes I just like to ask people why do you like the music you like? And I remember sometimes when I ask him about Americana, he's just said that it's honest, it's honest music, kind of. I don't know, and I heard a certain kind of candor really in your singing.
Yeah, I usually roll with it. Americana is a pretty big umbrella, but I agree. Yeah. It's a sincerity and an honesty, I think, that ties it all together.
Yeah. So for you, when you That's an original song.
It was.
Yeah. Which I think I could name if you, you said you didn't really have a title.
Well,
for it.
I don't have a title, but I also haven't put much effort into the title. So I feel like it's there.
How do you how do these things do they just kind of ruminate on these songs? I'm always curious about how songwriters work.
You've asked someone who's got a very grueling process. So you know, some of them come quicker than others naturally, and some of them come from stranger places. I try not to articulate it very well. I feel like if you don't want to mess
with the magic.
You ruin it. Yeah.
The songs themselves. So you just sort of, I don't know. Like I said, maybe ruminate is, I don't know.
It's a very spiritual approach to mm-hmm. it. So yeah, I mean, some of them sit for years, and some of them happen in 10 minutes. You know, like I said, I obviously don't try to articulate it often because of that. So
at any given time, do you have a variety of, I don't know, I guess kind of not quite complete songs happening in your head?
At any given time.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, so to extend that to the stage then, like, and I'm always curious about this as a performer myself, how much of a sense do you have of what you're going to play before you get on stage?
I was talking about it with them on the way in. I think most people who try to take themselves professionally do have a plan, but the band, I think they hate me because they're like, well, how do we know what we're playing? I was like, well, if you know the song well enough, you'll figure it out by the time I get to the
So, yeah, that's a step beyond not knowing what you're playing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't know what I'm playing, and I'm not telling you either.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I'll give them the first couple, and then it's a game for all of us after that.
I'm here with Josh Nolan, who just played a wonderful song for us, and Derek Feldman of Well Crafted, as well as our friend Lily, who's here too. Yes. Lily just found herself a sweet rolling chair to sit in. Well done. Well done.
Found, stole, whatever.
So you guys are doing Well Crafted, which is not this Saturday, but next Saturday, right?
Right.
And Josh will be playing there.
Can I, you know, this is Trivial Thursday. So
uh-oh.
Every year, and this is my third year.
Yeah.
We got to talk a little bit of trivia.
I always appreciate it when my guests talk about the historical trivia.
I do come prepared. So I looked it up. Today is June 9th, right? It also happens to be someone very special to me's birthday.
Okay.
Kara Coppola. So I just want to say happy birthday to Kara.
Happy birthday, Kara.
Happy birthday.
Lily, say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
But also, it's some other kind of famous people's birthday today, June 9th. Cole Porter.
It's Cole Porter's birthday.
Yes,
okay, one of the greatest American songwriters.
Exactly.
Ever, forever.
1891. Mm-hmm. That's when he was born. Yeah. And then Les Paul. So
it's Les Paul's birthday.
Yeah, guitar players out there, it's Les Paul's birthday.
Oh, thanks so much for that.
No problem. Sturgill Simpson's too, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not on my page here, but Facebook, okay, there you go. That could be. Cool.
Les Paul. I saw Les Paul like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In New York, he used to play every week at a place called the Iridium, and 2 shows a night. And that was one of when I lived in New York, and my bucket list for any visitors was that I would take him to see Les Paul.
Very cool.
It wasn't cheap because nothing in New York is really that cheap,
right.
But it was always. It was always pretty amazing. It was like just a little kind of nightclub situation. He had a band that absolutely slayed, including Lou Paula, I believe is his name, who was his other guitar, the rhythm guitar player, who the dude plays like passing chords on the quarter notes. Like I've never seen so many chords in my life. And then a lot of times famous people would show up who wanted to worship at the altar of Les Paul. And it was always really hilarious because I saw people show up like Tommy Shaw from Styx or like Neil Sean from Journey. And Les Paul was notorious for like, I don't know if he really, he probably didn't know who they were, but he also loved to like jive people kind of too. You know, so he would, and I think, I don't know what the process was of getting connected with him, but I think that you could kind of get in a queue and be like, talk to his people. And so like, cause he would be like halfway through his set, which a lot of times was not exactly the same, but there were certain shtick elements. And he would be like, now somebody's here, Tommy Shaw from the Styx or something like that. I don't know. You want to come up here? And so the person would come on stage. Wow. Usually, a lot of times it was guitar players, of course, but it's funny because they would get up there and then the next, you know, Les would be like, well, what do you want to play? And, you know, here's somebody who's like famous for, you know, rock radio hits, but then you've got Les Paul who knows the entire, you know, popular music songbook from the classic popular music songbook. Right. So there the twain do not meet exactly. And inevitably, I saw this several times, they'd be like, about blues and F. Which was just an opportunity for whoever was up there, I don't care how great they were, to get absolutely shredded, not just by Les Paul, but by this, by one of his, he had this kind of incredible hotshot guitar player too, who could. Anyway, I was just reminded of the greatness of that. So happy birthday to Les Paul.
Exactly. Who, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Derek, for bringing some historical trivia to the table.
I always come prepared.
Yeah, I appreciate that. More prepared than I, even in this case. So,
let's do, can we do Josh another song here?
Absolutely.
Sure.
What are you going to play?
What do you want to hear, Derek?
I love Josh. It's just something.
When I was young. This is one of my favorites.
So this is Josh Nolan. He's playing at the Well-Crafted Festival, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, in the studio with a guitar. Take it away, Josh.
Something pretty down by the river that keeps bringing me back to this place. The sun cracked crosses, flat top profits, Polaroid of small town Greece. Singing Take It to the Limit by the Dairy Queen. Said you might not think it, but we're living a dream. Maybe this time she was right. In the moonlight, drinking moonshine, in a mason jar full of homemade strawberry wine. And these cheap lights from this cheap house keep the moment moving forward to the threshold of the sight, to the tip of a tongue. Oh, I miss when I was young. Hey, the midnight constellations strung through smoke and auburn hair, and a handful of reservations. I think I got a few. Something pretty up on this mountain keeps bringing me back to this place. There's something in the air of this city, so thick it leaves the strongest taste. In the moonlight, drinking moonshine, and a mason jar full of homemade strawberry wine. And these cheap lights from these cheap lights keep the moment moving forward to the threshold of the sight, to the tip. In the moonlight, in a mason jar full of homemade strawberry wine. And these cheap lights from these cheap lights keep the moment moving forward to the threshold of the sight, to the tip of a tongue. Oh, I miss when I was young.
It's one of those.
Josh Nolan there. Josh Nolan there. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Let's see. So, what's that, Lily?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Josh, you're Let's see. So has that one been around for a while? That song?
No, that one's been around for a while.
Okay. Do you have like a presence online of stuff that for people to?
Twitter, Instagram, at not Josh Nolan, but joshnolanmusic.com will kind of direct you anywhere you need to.
Okay. So let's see. Of course, you're playing at Wellcrafted.
Yeah, he's got one of my favorite albums that was put out in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Fair City Lights.
That's the most recent song I played was on that record.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. You guys, what are you all looking forward to
at Wellcrafted? Yeah, I'll kind of tell you a little bit about the lineup. So M.P. Presley and the Ghosts of Jesse Garin on the main stage.
Ooh, that's a good name.
It is. Do you know that story?
No.
Okay, Jesse Garin is supposedly kind of folklore, like he's a lookalike sort of possible twin brother of Elvis Presley.
Okay.
And so yeah, I'll let Nate Waters, who is N.P. Presley, maybe tell the story exactly. But as it goes, I think you know there perhaps are some women in and around the Memphis area who you know say perhaps that they've slept with Elvis, but it's possible that it may have been Jesse Garin. or maybe vice versa. Maybe they thought they were sleeping with Jesse Garin, and yet it was actually Elvis Presley. So anyway, that's kind of a funny story. And then the Tillers are playing. They're out of Cincinnati, a great sort of raucous, kind of part old-timey, part sort of bluegrass band. Lindy Ortega, who we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caleb Caudill. He's a Carolina guy, singer-songwriter, kind of alt-country thing. He's definitely up and coming. Kind of, some people say he's kind of one of the next in line, perhaps, behind you know sort of Chris Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson and all those sort of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Isbell and that. It's been said. I think he's great, as well as Tyler Childers. Who locals know him and people kind of in Kentucky know him well and even throughout. Again, one of those guys who's kind of perhaps maybe the next.
The next what? Line. You keep saying next. I want to know what next.
I don't know.
Next.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, everyone yeah. saw, you know, people who are familiar with the music, with, you know, Americana or whatever, roots music, you know, are familiar with Jason Isbell, certainly when he was with the Truckers or things like that. But then all of a sudden, it just blew up. You know, Chris Stapleton was with the Steel Drivers and then just blew up kind of as, you know, and same with the Sturgill Simpson, you know, uh-huh. Sunday Valley, and then all of a sudden he's just this huge thing. I think, you know, something seems to be happening right now.
It does.
With this kind of music and where maybe it's, hopefully, it spells the end for modern country music. Perhaps there's...
Good
there's
luck a, with that, yeah, but yeah.
Everyone would like tries to kill it and then it keeps coming back.
Can I tell you my favorite Johnny Cash quote about that?
Good.
I don't know if you've ever read it, but and I wish I could remember who it was said about, but this was decades ago, at the dawn of kind of, you know, what was maybe being called young country. And somebody, a producer or somebody, played something for Johnny Cash when they were working. Maybe it was Rick Rubin played something for him. And I don't remember who it was, you know, let's just say Brooks and Dunn. Why not?
Okay.
And Johnny Cash listened to it and furrowed up his brow and said, "Well, that sounds like something that was recorded by somebody that hates country."
Right.
I love that quote.
It would be funny if it was being ironic, but it's sometimes it's not, and that is.
So that's why we're looking for the next.
Anyway, that's it seems to be happening, I suppose. And then Langhorn Slim is headlining, who we listened to before, and
yeah.
People may be familiar. You know, he's been around for a while. He's a fantastic songwriter and very. He's definitely an entertainer too. You might see him get up on some stuff and maybe roll out into the crowd a little bit.
Get up on some stuff.
And as well as some local artists, some solo artists on that second stage. I said Josh Nolan, who we just listened to, who's fantastic. He'll be mm-hmm. playing. John Clay is a great songwriter out of Louisville. Jeremy Squire is a great songwriter, a beautiful singer and songwriter out of Carolina, actually. Tree Jackson, Melissa Jackson from Great. Small Batch. Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Here. Tree will and be then, doing like kind of a solo set
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Derek Spencer, The Rooster's Crow. So I think Derek might bring an extra, maybe his bass player, maybe one or two other musicians up there. So like I said, kind of solo, maybe duo, trio even, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right.
Three, I'll bring four.
There you go. Like an arms race now, right? Extra musicians on the stage.
Well, that sounds great. That's June 18th.
June 18th.
Yeah. At the lovely Shaker Village on Pleasant Hill.
Yeah, and if you go to, you can either go to like Well-Crafted, Facebook event thing, or you can go to Shaker Village's website, which is just shakervillageky.org for more mm-hmm. information. And yeah.
Now, is everybody going to be eating spoon bread out there or what? Because their spoon bread kills.
Is that right? They do have their restaurant, and when you buy a ticket, you do actually get kind of it covers admission to Shaker Village, so you can go walk around, you come listen to music, have a beer, take your beer, go look at a building, or go hang out in the restaurant, come back. There will be a couple of food trucks though, mm-hmm. so lots of some dessert stuff and some regular food, and then lots of beer,
mm-hmm.
Craft beer from all over the country and our Kentucky favorites
talk about going supernova. The craft beer scene in Lexington is just It's pretty exploded. Impressive.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Absolutely. I think by any standard, I don't know if that's right or not, but
right.
I mean, by any by any community standard.
Absolutely. Yeah, and people are passionate about it and supportive and music and beer make a good mix, I think. So it was just kind of a natural inclination. Although, we're at Shaker Village, and oftentimes people kind of joke. Like, oh, really? Beer at Shaker Village?
It seems kind of funny.
Shakers,
but
right? It seems a little strange.
Were they teetotalers?
What's that?
Did they not drink?
Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, at some time during their history, sometimes it was not okay for them to drink. But actually, at some point, at different places, maybe not at Pleasant Hill, but they were in New York and stuff like that. Some of them actually brewed their own beer. Some of them, distilled their own spirits and mm-hmm. wine and stuff like that. Their sort of most famous export was something called the tonic of malt or something like that, which was basically, for lack of a better term, it was a malt liquor, and it was it was sold as sort of a tonic, that was sort of a cure-all.
I can only assume that's currently being recreated by a country boy or ethereal or Wessex or somebody
right,
like that.
Right.
Maybe for next year.
Hopefully. Hopefully I put a bug in someone's ear.
Derek, thanks so much for coming in. And Lily, you too.
Thank you.
Are you looking forward to the festival?
Really?
Yeah, really. Will you have some buddies out there? Or are you just
one? Yeah. I have one buddy. His name is Clay.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys were like twirling around umbrellas and stuff. Fantastic. And you guys get to hang around and run around. That's great.